Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't be afraid to say yes to assignments that you're like, I'm going to have to figure this out as I go. You just have to have like a little bit of confidence. Otherwise, it's going to be a lot harder.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jamie.
I'm Amy, and this is Clever. And today we're hearing from illustrator Abby Lossing. We became aware of Abby Lossing while attending the Adobe 99U conference, where I sat down with her for this talk. Her sweet and quirky illustrations brilliantly capture both the magic and the awkwardness in those seemingly insignificant mundane moments.
She's a young freelancer based in Brooklyn, and we wanted to hear all about how she developed her style and found her professional footing. Just a quick note that Amy's flying solo on this one, and you might hear some exciting sounds from the conference in the background. And now let's hear from Abby.
My name's Abby Lossing. I'm an illustrator, and I live in Brooklyn, New York. I work mainly on freelance assignments, so it's very fluid. I'm working on a bunch of different things at the same time. I like the idea of creating something out of nothing, especially because I work digitally. So literally, it's just like starting with a blank page, and then you can create something that can be shared or printed out or put in a newspaper or onto a t-shirt. So I just love the flexibility and all the different things that you can do with that.
I've seen some of your work, and there seems to be a lot of depictions of humans.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you're giving birth to characters with your illustrations?
I've always just loved drawing the human form. I'm also really inspired because I live in New York City, so I see lots of different types of characters every mm-hmm. day. So I think that mainly just comes into my work. I just like drawing lots of different types of people.
So let's go all the way back to zero. Where were you born and raised, and what was your childhood like? And did you always like to draw? How did it manifest in your childhood?
I grew up in Granville, Ohio, which is just outside of Columbus. And my grandma was portrait painter, so she was always like creativity was a big part of her life. Not necessarily my parents, not as much, but they were like very supportive of harnessing creativity within their kids. I didn't do like a lot of drawing or art classes when I was little, but then in high school, my last 2 years, I did like an art focused path within my high school. Mm-hmm. So that was really helpful. And then I went to art school after that.
Where did you study art?
Syracuse University.
And at that point, and I mean, for me, college was just wildly expansive in terms of just, you know, learning so much every day and also being given full permission to do the creativity thing to the 10th power or as much as I possibly could. Is that what was your experience of college like, and how did it set you up for your professional life?
Yeah. So the first year I was undecided, which was really helpful to me, I think, because I was able to try a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
I took printmaking, sculpture, ceramics, like the whole slew of things. And then the last 3 years I switched to illustration. So I was a lot more focused, and I had some really great professors. They were all very diverse in like what they did with illustration. Like there was a few oil painters that would render like scenes of and like take reference photos and like really research their illustration. And there was a couple more like design based illustrators that would do like packaging, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really like well-rounded education, I'd say. Also, most of them were freelancers, so they always like really wanted to like push to go for freelance, which that always was my goal, probably for that reason.
Oh, interesting. So at the university level, freelancing was encouraged.
Yeah, which is surprising. But
well, was there really also did. Support? Did they teach you how to be your own business person?
Yeah. So my last year, I mean, if I could go back, I probably would have wished that I would have taken more business classes. I only took one that was business of illustration. So that was very like specialized and helpful, obviously. But I probably could have taken some general business classes that would have also been beneficial.
So what happened after college? What were your first few steps into the professional world like?
So like I said, I wanted to do freelance right away, but I soon realized that that was easier said than done.
Right.
Because I didn't have like any...
Right. You don't have your clients yet. You
know. So I would like send out postcards and be like, all right, come on, jobs, like opening up my inbox, like just thinking that it was going to happen. Like I'll send out some postcards to some art directors and I'll get hired for things. But I got my first job at BuzzFeed, which was a really great experience, especially I was still living upstate. In upstate New York when I was starting off. So that having a job in the city, like allowed me to move to the city because I had like a steady income, which I think was also great to like make connections being based in a bigger city. So I worked at BuzzFeed for 2 years creating illustrations and GIFs for like BuzzFeed lists. It was a great job because I was working with other illustrators and like there was lots of inspiration. Type of thing I was doing on a daily basis wasn't necessarily what I always wanted to do, but it was like a really great stepping stone, like first foot in the door type job.
Oh, absolutely. And to have a steady paycheck while you're also just like building some chops and meeting some people, that sounds like really good substance to like build the foundation with. So what gave you the courage to leap to freelance and was it scary?
So I guess I should say after I worked at BuzzFeed, I worked at Vice News for a year. And Vice News was a lot more flexible if they would allow me to freelance at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So during that year, I was like really building up clients on the side. And so that made it a little bit easier to jump into freelance.
And Vice has stayed a consistent client, right? Are you full-time freelance now? Or are you still?
Yeah, I'm full-time freelance. I do. So I worked for the HBO nightly news show that Vice produces. So I still do some animations for that show, but it's like a lot more sporadic now.
And how would you describe, like if we were talking about your work life like a pie, how would you break it up? Like describe the pie for us.
Probably a quarter would be like emails, invoices, catching up with clients, like making scheduling things. 30% would be editorial. I do a lot of editorial work, which is really fun because it's like faster deadlines.
So editorial work means there's an article that needs an illustration.
Yes, yeah.
And they send it to you because they want something in your style.
Yes.
And so you get to sort of just like read the article and let your brain kind of go loose on it and then draw something.
So it's very, fun. It's really fast. Sometimes, honestly, like the New York Times will call you at like noon and they'll say, can you get an illustration to me by 7 p.m. tonight? Sometimes.
Do you like
you
that
don't have
kind of
to
speak?
Do it. If you don't want to do it, you can just be like, oh, it's not going to work out today. But I have done it a couple of times. And it's always just like usually like a black and white hand drawing, something really simple. And the art directors are always like very open-minded with anything. So they're usually fun assignments to take on.
What is your favorite type of job?
I kind of like having a balance. I like having one more ongoing, bigger assignment that maybe will be like a month long. But then having smaller assignments to balance out. I don't think I could work on just one thing for a month.
Okay.
So it's nice to have like little faster projects to also be like simultaneously working on.
It's like you need the main dish and then the two sides.
Yes.
Keep things interesting on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
So let's dig into your creative process a little bit. I suck at drawing, but I'm a designer. So it's always been a real hindrance for me creatively. I can sketch well enough to communicate an idea, but it's not something that my brain likes to use as a way to come up with ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you that preface to just explain, like, I really don't know what it feels like for somebody who can express themselves through illustration.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because even though my career is drawing, I usually do start out with like a brainstorm of words, especially for editorial assignment or anything that's more conceptual. There are some assignments where the person's like, oh, I want a person doing this, or like it's a lot more prescriptive. So that's not really necessary for those types of assignments. But if it's something where like I've been given an article and I need to come up with ideas for it, then I'll like kind of try to break down the themes of the article or any like visual any visual ideas that pop into my head as I'm reading the article, I'll write those down as well. So that usually helps, just like seeing some words, and then I can like think of visual like ideas that might be inspired by those words. And then I'll start with like really rough sketches from there.
Rough sketches, and that mm-hmm. are those with paper and pencil, or are you sketching directly into the digital world at this
point? Yeah, I sketch right on I have a Cintiq tablet, okay. So it feels very similar to drawing on paper, and you can see some tablets you have to look up at the computer screen, but it just shows it right there on the, so it feels the same to me as drawing on paper.
Whoa.
I mean, the texture is a little different, but
when you have to do an illustration for the HBO Nightly News, for Vice Media, or for New York Times, and the turnaround's like insanely fast, is it an adrenaline rush, or is it a lot of pressure, or do you feel kind of zen about the whole thing? How does it impact or enhance your creativity?
I feel like I'm pretty good at staying relaxed, even if I'm like, I have 10 minutes to finish this. All right, like, we're going. All right, it's done. Like, send it in. But I think that working at Vice helped with that when I worked there full time, because we were making an episode every day. So I was just used to like daily deadlines every day. When you have too much time, you just end up procrastinating. Like, if you know it's only going to take like X amount of time, sometimes people will like leave that go till the end. So you're just cutting off all the extra time that's just not allotted to you anyways. So
you understand the fungibility of time.
Yeah. Yes. You can like stretch out. If you have like 5 days for a project, you'll spend the 5 days and end up with something that you probably could have done in 2 days if you only had 2 days.
You sound like somebody who doesn't belabor your projects. I mean, yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
You say you kind of know when you got the idea, you know how to execute it, and then you also know when to put the pencil down?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
That's a skill in and of itself. Do you feel like you learned that in school, or is that something that's innate that you've always had?
I really think it was the two jobs I had where I was on staff.
Okay.
Just like being
just
expected,
the repetitive.
Like, oh, you got to make this, and this, and you have so many hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on staff, it's a lot different than being a freelancer, because they expect a certain amount of work out of you, and like they know it's not like you're working with a bunch of different people. You have like the same boss and the same assignments. So
what is your wheelhouse or your inspiration home base when it comes to, in terms of subject matter? What do you really like illustrating?
Definitely people, I would say.
Yeah, there's a real humanity in your work, and also an understanding of the sort of unspoken moments of humanity.
Yeah, like the simple everyday moments. It doesn't have to be anything extravagant. I think also just like things that I see walking down the street, especially for my personal work, I end up just drawing things that I see, and like I try to keep them pretty simple, just especially for personal work. I don't have enough time at the moment to like say, oh, I'm gonna like devote a week to a personal project. So it's more just like, oh, like I have a few hours today, it'd be great if I could just do a quick illustration for fun.
And the personal work, is it something that you do to keep your mind active and your skills sharp and your heart engaged? Is there a goal you're working towards with the personal work, or do you exhibit?
I haven't done any formal exhibits. It's mainly just quick exercises to kind of like get ideas onto paper. I do some really fast editorial assignments, but it's usually like a lot more conceptual. So it's kind of nice to just do something like, oh, I just want to draw like a person and like draw like a really fun pattern and like work that into it. Just like really, it feels more like playing, no goals.
No goals, no parameters.
Yeah.
No budget.
Like no agenda. Just like creating something for
fun. Free, unstructured time to be creative. That sounds like everybody should be doing that.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of times people put pressure on themselves like, oh, I'm creating this to post or on social media and like it'll be marketing. I don't even like put that on myself. If you spend a few hours creating something, in the end, like, if you love it and you want to put it into the world, do that. If you don't, you can just put it in a folder, and then maybe a few months from now, you'll want to go back to it and revisit it, or maybe you'll just be done with it forever. But it was still like a good exercise, I think.
Still worth doing.
Yes.
Not everything needs to be a tool for marketing.
Yes.
I mean, it's, I can see that it's sometimes a real liberation to remove all of that expectations from your work.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you're really comfortable with that. What is the, I mean, what's the dream life for you? It sounds like you're pretty, you're digging the freelance thing, but if you could just dial up your life to 11, what would it look like? What's a dream project for you to work on?
I used to do a lot more of long form animations for Vice News. And I would like to do, like, the New York Times does some, they'll have like a story of someone telling their like life story, or it wouldn't have to be for that client specifically, but, and then an animator will like animate the story along with it. And I think doing something like a, it's like a, be a really time intensive project and like a really big commitment right now. Even like bigger assignments that I work on are still just like a month tops. So it'd be great. It'd be kind of cool, I think, to do a project that would take a few months and like really invest time into something. It's hard to like do that as a personal project because obviously I don't have that much time. So you're kind of just like waiting for that big project to come along.
You'd have to self-finance something like that or find the right collaborators.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, clever listeners. We're getting excited for New York Design Week in May. This year will be better than ever. ICFF, North America's leading platform for contemporary design, will take place from May 19th to the 21st at the Javits Center in New York City. I'll be there, and I'm excited to let you know how Clever is collaborating with ICFF for Launchpad at Wanted, formerly known as Wanted Design Manhattan, and the Emerging Designer Showcase. Launchpad is an international platform for emerging designers that introduces new concepts and showcases prototypes of furniture, home accessories, and lighting. It is the best place for manufacturers to meet new designers, discover fresh ideas, and potential products to develop. The best of Launchpad winners will be selected by a jury of renowned industry professionals, led by yours truly. And they will go on to be featured in another edition of the popular Emerging Designers Showcase. I'll be leading the Emerging Designers Showcase live on the Talks main stage, where the five Launchpad finalists will have a chance to present their projects to our esteemed panel of professionals. It's always a really good time. So mark your calendars for Sunday, May 19th at 4 p.m. Both Launchpad and the Emerging Designer Showcase are presented with media partners Clever, that's us, and Design Milk, and with support from American Standard and Lumens. Visit ICFF.com to learn more and register to attend. Those are the letters ICFF.com. Come by and say hi. I would love to see you there. Support for Clever comes from Wix Studio. Instead of reading you another, let's be honest, boring ad script, Wix Studio just sent me this wild-looking Alice in Wonderland-themed website to scroll through and tell you about. So, whoa. This is not the web I'm used to. There's something called mouse parallax, which makes it feel like you can go deeper into the screen. And as I scroll down, it's like I'm falling down the rabbit hole. And things are moving in depth and perspective. Even my cursor has morphed into a glowing little orb. There are all these no-code animations that make this place feel organic and alive. And Alice is wearing some pretty cool shoes, by the way. Okay, I know I'm mixing up my narratives now, but we are definitely not in Kansas anymore. Your turn to go down the rabbit hole. Build your next web project on Wix Studio, the platform for agencies and enterprises.
That leads me to another question. Since your work really has that human quality to it, there's something really relatable about it. And there's something, I want to say, poignant about some of the sort of moments that you capture, because there are those moments where you think nobody's paying attention, but you might have your head down at your desk, or like you said, those simple, mundane moments. But when you're capturing those in the form of illustration, are you also in your mind developing these drawings of people into people, into characters? Are you giving them qualities in your mind?
Oh, like that, personalities, kind of?
Personality characteristics, yeah. And could that translate into actual characters in an animated film?
I feel like it definitely could. I feel like I'm almost attached
yeah.
or something to the characters. I'm like, oh, I really like her.
You know? Yeah.
Like, she's good. She's a good one. But I think it would be a really good exercise, I think, to just develop them even more, in which you can only do with animation. I mean, you can get some characteristics can come through from just a still illustration, but as soon as you have someone, even like just a slight movement, you can put so much more into it.
Yeah, the gesture mm-hmm. now becomes part of...
Yeah, even just like a walk cycle, like just someone walking, you can tell a lot by like the way they move.
Do you walk down the street thinking like an illustrator?
I'm definitely always looking for inspiring images or color combinations. I feel like you can find those anywhere. I don't actually do a lot of sketching in public or anything. I feel like it's more just like mentally documenting and logging inspiration.
So that was going to lead me to my next question, is do you have a way of cataloging your ideas, or do you just kind of form impressions in your brain and trust your mental data bank?
I do like keep a notebook with me just in case I like have an idea, but it's all like mainly words. It's not like, I just don't sketch a lot. I just feel like I have my office with my Cintiq, and that's like where I feel like is where I want to like get the actual sketches done. So when I'm out and about, I'm not going to like sit down and draw when I'm out and about.
What do you do in your life that's decidedly regular or not creative that surprisingly informs your creativity a lot?
Well, I'm really into rock climbing.
Really?
And I feel like I've met a lot of illustrators or creatives that do that. And I feel like it's very... Are you familiar with bouldering at all?
Not really, no. So go ahead.
They call it like... They're called boulder problems. So you like have to solve the problems. I feel like it's a very creative way of thinking about exercise. You can like move your body in certain ways to like make the movement easier to get up the wall. I don't really like draw rock or anything. Like the subject matter doesn't necessarily like fit into my work that often, but I think just like the way of thinking does help the process.
I can see that. I think that there's a lot of physical activity that we do that informs our thought processes in ways that we probably don't even have full comprehension but that ends up filtering out through our expression in some way, or the way that we think about the world, the way the universe works, and then that comes out through our creativity. And mm-hmm. so rock climbing doesn't need to be a subject matter that you draw about all the time, and it can still inform it in such interesting ways.
Yeah.
From a novice perspective, rock climbing seems to be such a orchestrated example of like exertion and well-timed moments of little bursts of momentum to propel yourself up, but then not too much because you can't overshoot. And then you've got to use a lot of strength in a really small part of your body. Mm-hmm. Like your hands got to hold on real tight, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Your big toe can't slip.
Yeah. It's a lot of technique.
Yeah.
More so than I think a lot of people would assume.
How long have you been doing it?
I started in high school, so
okay,
over 10 years.
What would you say about your childhood drawings still show up in your adult drawings?
I definitely, when I was little, I really loved drawing people, but it was like more frustrating because I wasn't trained. Especially in like high school, when I was more focused on art, it was more frustrating to, I wanted to draw people, but I just couldn't very well. And I was never happy with the final product. So that was always like a big focus. But for my childhood drawings, I like drew a lot of animals. I draw animals every once in a while, but I would hope that the carefree, happy feeling carried through from my childhood drawings, but I don't think there's a lot of subject matter that's the same because it was like a lot of birds and spiders.
Gotcha. Okay, well, before we wrap up, I definitely want to give our listeners some directions to find your work online. Do you have a URL or social handles you want to send people to?
Yeah, so my website is just www.abbylossing.com. And I'm also on Instagram, just Abby Lossing. If you just search Abby Lossing, it'll come up, Abby_Lossing. I'm on Behance, too.
I wonder if you have one piece of advice that you could give illustrators just out of college if they are also want to go the freelance route. I mean, you had a full-time job for 2 years, and sounds like that was pretty instrumental.
Yeah.
What's the one thing you did earlier in your career that you think really sort of helped orient your brain to the freelance situation?
First, don't be afraid to say yes to assignments that you're like, I'm going to have to figure this out as I go. When I was first starting out, even my first job at BuzzFeed that I got hired for, one of the big things was to create GIFs, and I had like no idea how to make a GIF. But I feel like sometimes you just have to be like, yes, I can do that, and then figure it out. Especially when you're first starting out, like you just have to have like a little bit of confidence. Otherwise, it's going to be a lot harder. So
nobody's going to hire you. Yeah. If you don't have any work experience, nobody's going to hire you for what you already know how to do.
Yeah. So commit to something and then figure it out. But also, just because you're done with school doesn't mean that you can't keep learning new skills. I took a lot of continuing education classes the first couple of years that I graduated from school, which seems like, oh my gosh, I just spent so much money the past 4 years. Like, why am I going to spend more to learn new things? But there was like a couple of programs that I really wanted to learn that I hadn't learned in school just because I like wasn't aware of them. Even if it's like an online class or like watch some YouTube videos, learn a new program, because you'll never know how that'll influence your work and like what it'll add to your portfolio.
That's awesome. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. To see Abby's work and to read the show notes, click the link in the details of this episode on your podcast app, or go to cleverpodcast.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter. Please subscribe to Clever on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would please do us a favor and rate and review us on iTunes and tell all your friends about us, it really does help us a lot.
And we love to chat with you on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, where you could find us at Clever Podcast. Clever is created, produced, and hosted by us, Amy Devers and Jamie Derringer, also known as 2VDE Media, with editing by Rich Stroffolino and music by L1011. Clever is proudly distributed by Design Milk.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.